From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. Kerry Morris lives in Maryland. She's a career development coach, but she's also had a second job for the past 10 years as a remote caregiver for her mom, Anita. Kerry has been writing about their intense relationship, two strong-willed women who clash a lot but love each other deeply. She wants to make it into a book, and after what's happened in the past few years, she has a new title.
And I think I'm going to change the name to Call the Front Desk. I really find using dark comedy an antidote for me.
Call the Front Desk. It's what Kerry's mom would ask her to do.
It was this constant, please, you've got to call the front desk. Please, just do me this one favor. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
3 years ago, Anita moved into an assisted living facility in Boca Raton, Florida. Whenever something was wrong, she'd typically try to get help herself. But when it didn't arrive, she'd call Kerry at home in Maryland.
Every time, you know, I'd see my phone and the number come up or the facility name, I thought it's either she's calling me or it's a member of the staff calling me that she's in trouble.
When Kerry couldn't pick up, Anita would leave voicemails. Hundreds of them.
Hi, I thought you would probably answer the phone, knowing it was me calling, but I really wanted to speak to you.
These calls could be urgent. I'm scared, I'm in pain, I need someone to come clean me up, and sometimes I'm just lonely.
I am up here in my room and nobody's here at the moment, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. I just can't handle it. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, Kerry. I really have no one else to talk to. Just understand where I'm coming from, honey. Please.
We're at the end of a pandemic summer. Millions of cases. We're nearing 200,000 deaths in the U.S., and a disproportionately high number of them have been in nursing homes and prisons, places where people live under one roof with lots of strangers. The pandemic has hit communities of color especially hard. And with nursing homes, some research suggests those with mostly black residents have higher death rates. Reveal's Elizabeth Chogren has been investigating why nursing homes have been hit so hard across the board and finds that the pandemic made an old problem even worse.
For much of her life, Anita Limber was a head-turning beauty. She played tennis into her 60s. She loved sailing and going to the beach. She had her house custom built in a gated community in Boca Raton. Her daughter says even into her 80s, looks still mattered to her a lot.
The staff at Stratford Court lovingly referred to her as Diva Anita. Every morning she had the routine, put on the wig, put on the makeup, the jewelry, everything was just so. And then when she was ready to meet her public, they wheeled her into the lobby, and there she sat.
Ready to play cards or bingo, eat meals in the dining room with other residents, or go to physical therapy. Anita moved into Stratford in 2017 because she'd heard through the grapevine that they had a great in-house rehab center. She'd been in a wheelchair for several years after a knee surgery, and she thought if she moved there, she'd walk again. That hadn't happened yet, so she needed lots of help from staff, including changing her adult diapers.
I'm still sitting here. It's almost 2 hours. I'm sitting here in wet pants. And this is why I went out to the hospital for that reason. They are disgusting.
You can't just sit in a wet pull-up or a soiled pull-up. And unfortunately, she was ripe for infections and was frequently going to the hospital where she would have to reside for several days, up to more than a week, on IV antibiotics.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry, Kerry. Believe me. I'm sorry for me. I'm sorry for you and everyone else.
Urinary tract infections, or UTIs, can be deadly. They can get into the bloodstream and cause organ failure. And they spread in nursing homes, on unsanitary linens, or when staff don't wash hands between patients. At Stratford Court, Anita just kept getting them for years.
and I want to relax, and I want to enjoy the rest of my life. These goddamn UTIs. Unbelievable.
Carrie knew Stratford wasn't a five-star facility. She'd seen those, but she thought it was above average, and it is, according to Medicare's ratings, except when it came to infection control. They weren't doing what they were supposed to.
Deficiency in 2019, can you read that?
Provide appropriate care for residents who are continent or incontinent.
I set up a video call with Carrie so I could show her some federal inspection reports. They're posted online. They show that for years, Stratford has violated infection control requirements, including failing to protect patients from urinary tract infections.
Right. Well, that would certainly track with my personal experience.
And here, what's this one say?
Have a program that investigates, controls, and keeps infection from spreading.
Inspectors cited failures to meet these requirements 3 years in a row, 2017 to 2019. But the government didn't find them.
I see you shaking your head. What are you thinking?
I find that both curious and unacceptable as a family member who goes by the do no harm creed. That's what we all want. That's what we're expecting. If they've been cited numerous times, then why was there no oversight to see if proper measures had been instituted? That would be my question, right?
Unfortunately, deficiencies in the practices that nursing homes have for infection control were widespread and persistent across multiple years.
John Dickin investigated infection control at nursing homes across the country for the Government Accountability Office, a nonpartisan congressional agency. He says these infection control problems were chronic, way before the pandemic.
Many of them were basic things like not sanitizing equipment or not washing hands when staff were working directly with residents. Other things could be staff displaying symptoms of being sick or not having proper protective equipment. We had examples of nursing homes that were not isolating appropriately residents when they were exposed or confirmed to have an infection.
Inspectors found these types of problems at more than 80% of nursing homes in recent years. Half of nursing homes had violations multiple years in a row, but there were hardly any consequences. Regulators imposed a fine less than 2% of the time. This was the state of nursing homes when the coronavirus arrived in the U.S. In late February, Carrie went to visit her mom at Stratford Court in Florida.
And I remember, you know, being in my hotel room and starting to hear the reports out of Washington.
Now a nursing home, the center of concern over a potential coronavirus outbreak. The CDC investigating after a staff member and resident tested positive, with more than 50 others quarantined showing symptoms. Health officials.
So I remember coming to the facility the very next day. As they often did, they had this big social gathering and, you know, these entertainers who were there and singing. And I saw my mother and she was jamming to the music. One of the first things that happened while we were there listening to the music was there was a gentleman off to the corner and he was coughing. And it was a fairly productive cough. It was a cough like, oh, my God.
Carrie rushed over to a staff member to ask what they were doing to protect residents from the coronavirus. She was told not to worry, just wash her hands. But throughout the visit, so much of Anita's life struck Carrie as risky with the pandemic on the way. Carrie clearly remembers the day she left. Her mom was sitting in a dining room full of residents visiting family members and staff.
And I stood there in the hallway for several minutes, just looking at her. And I wanted to memorize the scene because I knew I would not be seeing her again. I just knew it.
Within a few days, Anita had another urinary tract infection and was back in the hospital. When she was well enough to go back to Stratford, she went up to the nursing home floor, not her normal room. A couple days later, Carrie got a call from Stratford.
I just wanted to inform you that there is evidence of COVID on the property, and the facility is instituting lockdown measures. I knew it was coming. I was really devastated.
There was no indication Anita had COVID, but Carrie knew how vulnerable her mom was, and she felt helpless. Because of the pandemic, she didn't want to fly to Florida, and even if she did, she wouldn't be allowed into Stratford. She had to trust the facility would protect her mom.
I said, Mom, let's just try to think positively about the future. Let's just think about getting better. Let's just adopt a positive mindset, even in the midst of all of the unknowns, right? We all are dealing with unknowns. So she said to me, who the hell do you think you are, Billy Graham? Just, don't play life coach with me. Do that with your clients.
At first, messages from Stratford's managers assured residents and families that they were well prepared for the coronavirus. Later messages listed precautions they were taking, like requiring masks for staff and patients and isolating patients with symptoms. But as the weeks passed, Carrie didn't like what she was seeing on the video chats with her mom.
I saw a rapid deterioration of her condition. She just was starting to present far more lethargic, just off, really off.
I have no idea. I don't even know what my name is right now.
I don't even know what my name is right now, Anita's saying. During their next video call, Carrie couldn't make out anything Anita said.
She was slouched over the wheelchair, hanging there. I wanted to reach through the screen and physically, like, tilt her in the other direction. And I was so incensed. I was walking around the room. My husband thought I was going to have a stroke myself, pleading for someone to help her. She was drooling. She was in such poor shape. I was beside myself.
And the following morning, Carrie got the call she'd been dreading.
And the staff member told me that she was taken to the hospital. She was running a fever. Her blood pressure was low, and she was experiencing shortness of breath.
A doctor at the hospital left Carrie a voicemail later that day.
She's been admitted with a diagnosis of the coronavirus, and she's doing okay. She has a fever, but her oxygen levels are stable.
The federal government didn't require nursing homes to report COVID cases and deaths until May. Since they started keeping track, nursing homes have reported more than 345,000 residents confirmed or suspected of getting COVID, and more than 53,000 of them died. Welltower, the company that owns Stratford, is the nation's biggest owner of senior housing complexes. At least 67 are nursing homes. Welltower hasn't made public the number of deaths at its facilities, but we did an analysis of federal data and found about half of Welltower nursing homes had COVID deaths, 339 as of the end of August. Welltower refused reveals many requests for interviews, but in a call with investors last month, one executive said cases and deaths were way down.
The number of cases are not spiking in our portfolio like they had back in April and May when the operators were blindsided, not just our operators, I mean, we all were blindsided by COVID.
But should they have been? Like the rest of the country, nursing homes did not have enough PPE and tests. Still, federal law requires nursing homes to have plans for a pandemic. And for decades, regulators have pushed facilities to improve infection control. Day to day, that responsibility falls to caregivers, like Marie.
The patient cannot do anything by themselves. You have to feed them and clean them head to toes. You do everything for the patient.
Marie has worked for 11 years as a certified nursing assistant at a South Florida nursing home. Like many caregivers in that area, she's from Haiti. Marie hasn't gotten COVID-19, but she's watched colleagues get sick. and says there's no way to stay 6 feet or even 6 inches from patients.
We have one employee die because they don't give proper PPE. They refuse to give us a PPE. That's why she's died.
We were able to confirm that a staffer died of COVID, but not how she caught it. Marie worries she could lose her job for speaking out, so we're not giving her last name or the name of the nursing home where she works. She makes $11 an hour and supports a family.
And then I have bills, so I have a choice. I have to go to work. So I'm still scared because they don't give you a proper PPE.
Marie says workers like her deserve better treatment. Experts say residents and staff should be tested often, and staff should be given gloves, gowns, eye protection, and masks. But Marie says she sometimes has to wait 2 weeks for a fresh mask.
So you got a very bad feeling.
Margaret Narette is a vice president of a union that represents more than 8,000 nursing home workers in South Florida. She says more than 2,000 of them have gotten COVID. 5 have died from it. Margaret says caregivers don't get enough training and aren't kept in the loop about COVID cases.
If you have one case, you're supposed to have meeting with your workers, but we did not have that. Everything was secret to the workers.
Most of the people she represents are women of color. So are most of the people doing the same job across the country. Poor pay and lousy benefits mean they have to work no matter what. And that puts them and everyone around them at risk. After only a few days in the hospital, Anita was discharged to Stratford's COVID isolation wing. Doctors told Carrie the nursing home could handle everything that Anita needed. But Carrie was concerned, and rightly so. Within a few days, Anita's health was getting worse, and she was moved to hospice.
Thank God I was able to FaceTime with my mom at the hospice facility. It was a gift, as painful as it was to see her in her final moments.
On May 3rd, Anita died. She was 84. I wanted to talk with Stratford Court's management company, but instead they responded with an email. They said they significantly expanded their infection control program during the pandemic, and since then, inspectors have not found deficiencies. Federal data shows that during COVID, Stratford's nursing home section has had about 30 patients at any given time. 7 have died from the virus. 9 staff members got it too, but none died. All across the country, nursing homes are still in crisis. After a dip this summer, new COVID cases started surging. Nursing home residents make up more than a quarter of all COVID-related deaths.
I think it is a national tragedy. I think it could have been avoided. That I believe to my soul. It could have been avoided.
Carrie has a beach home in Delaware. In August, on her birthday, she turned on some comforting music and opened a large box holding her mom's ashes.
And, wow, this is what's left of you. Beautiful, white, sugary, granular sand that you find on Florida beaches.
And she found several spots to scatter her mom's ashes, near a sailboat, and at an old-style covered well at a park, with a sign that reads, Fountain of Youth.
Okay, Mom, you always aspired to drink from the Fountain of Youth. I think you did for quite some time. You figured out the recipe. You actually, I think, when you were born, and the gods and the goddesses were serving up helpings of the beauty gene, they invited you back for seconds and thirds. And here we go. Rest in peace, Mom.
Our story was from Reveal's Elizabeth Shogren. Over the past few months, the federal government has been sending strike teams of experts to nursing homes with big COVID-19 outbreaks. They're still finding a lot of infection control problems, and the government has fined thousands of facilities. And last month, it started a new nationwide training program for controlling infections. Like nursing homes, prisons are supposed to have protocols for stopping the spread of illness. But with COVID-19, things didn't go according to plan.
Hey, can you, we need help, call my family. Let them know we're dying. They got us locked in here with people that have COVID-19. We're gonna catch it, please, we're dying, help us.
That story when we come back. You're listening to Reveal.
Support for Reveal comes from LegalZoom. During these unprecedented times, LegalZoom is available for legal help, taking care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. More info at LegalZoom.com.